reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord. A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. But there was a sinful woman in that city who learned that he was at the table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. She then wiped her with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. But she's a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he replied. "Two men were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages. The other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You've judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, and she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Today's gospel scene is only in St. Luke. And because this is around the time of the exaltation of the cross and the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, often we don't hear it. I think it is one of the most important passages in the gospel. My next book will be entitled From the Scene. It is the open secret of loving the Lord much. If we wish to love the Lord a lot, if we wish to love him more, then we have to learn from today's scene, because Jesus indicates it to us. If we're really going to appreciate the Savior, we have to recognize we are in need of saving. If we're going to love him as he deserves and desires, then we're going to love him because of his abundant mercy toward us. Because to the one who is forgiven little, loves little. But to the one who is forgiven a lot, loves much. There were three things that were done to any guest in a Jewish home. First thing, after they came on in, is the head of the house would come, put his hand on the right shoulder, and wish shalom. Second thing, because the roads were dusty and filthy in other ways, servants would come and immediately wash the feet of the guest. And then because of the heat and the perspiration that would take place along the journey, they'd put some odoriferous ointment on the head or some rose petals that would be crushed or some other means to take away the stink. Those three things always occurred. Simon the Pharisee did none of these. to Jesus. It wasn't just a defect in hospitality. It was a sign that he was really taking Jesus for granted. A typical Jew wouldn't fail to do that to an ordinary guest. The very fact that he was failing to do it to this peripatetic rabbi, who had a really good reputation, was showing that he was treating him with a certain disrespect. So Jesus is reclining at table. So we've explained before, he used to lay down on your left arm and let your feet be on the outside of the circle. And with your right arm, that's the way you'd eat. So his feet was at the back, and that's where the sinful woman approached. She washed his feet with her tears. She embraced him with her hair. And then she anointed not his head, but his feet with that ointment from an alabaster jar. She was really not just doing a good deed for someone, but she was welcoming him in a saving power into her home, into herself. She knew who he was and how much she needed his mercy. Do we? I've mentioned it before, this passage from the book-length interview with Pope Francis that was done in 2011, called El Jesuita. In the night he was elected, as I was reading this book cover to cover to know him better, I came across this passage which arrested me. He said, one of the greatest graces that can ever happen to us in life is to recognize we're a sinner. He repeated it, yes, one of the greatest graces is to recognize we're a sinner. This is the experience, he said, of the O Felix Culpa of the Easter Vigil that brought us such a great Redeemer, O happy fall. Then he told the story of someone's jumping into a body of water to rescue somebody who was drowning, and described that that was our situation, that we were drowning in a cesspool of our own sins, but Christ leaped into that water all the way from heaven and lost his life in pushing us to safety. We often forget Jesus' death because of his resurrection 40 hours later. But Jesus really died. He valued our life that much. But he said it's only we great sinners who have this grace of appreciating precisely what he did. It's only we who really love him back for whom he is and how he loves. It's only we who are capable of truly being Christian, passing on that mercy, being merciful like our Heavenly Father is merciful. It's extraordinary insight. 2 years ago, when he was preaching on this scene, he said in a homily at the Domus that in order to be saved, we have to learn from this woman. Jesus said to her at the very end of this passage, your faith has saved you. She was saved because she loved much. And she loved much because she recognized she was loved much by this mercy that the Lord had given. She bathed his feet with her tears. He bathed her soul with his blood. This is something that St. Paul himself grasped. Today's first reading is very beautiful. It's probably the oldest part of the New Testament. The beginning of this, the kerygma, properly speaking, the gospel of Christ, he preached to us. What was it that I handed on to you as a first importance, of the greatest thing I could ever give you was what I received. Christ died for our sins. Why did he die again? He died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then more than 500. He appeared to James and then all the apostles. And then last of all, he said, and the literal phrase here in Greek is to one born aborted, one born dead, but they had a distinction between miscarried and aborted. He chose the latter term here. He appeared to me, to the least, to the one who persecuted the church of God. He appeared to me. This was what really drove Paul to crisscross the ancient world to spread the love of the Lord. In the second letter to the Corinthians, he would say what we hear every Ash Wednesday, that he had received the Lord's mercy and had become an ambassador for the Lord, crying out, "Don't receive the grace of God in vain, but be reconciled to God." He knew that in order to receive the love of the Lord, they needed to open themselves up to his mercy. And to love the Lord and love others, it had to come from that divine gift. Because of this grace of God, I am what I am, a reconciled murderer. His grace to me has not been ineffective. With great humility, St. Paul said that. His mercy in me hasn't been wasted, because I have indeed toiled harder than all of them. Or rather, the grace of God within me has toiled. That mercy that was working within him was continually at work. That's the great explanation of St. Paul's life. He was one who had been totally moved by the Lord's mercy so that he couldn't stop letting that mercy work. Today we celebrate the feast of the Korean martyrs who so longed for the mercy of the Lord. The story is just one of the most beautiful in church history. The Koreans are probably one of the most xenophobic people on the planet. So missionaries were not allowed in Korea because they were foreigners. But some of the Koreans, for trade, had gone to China. And they had found some of the books of the Jesuit priests who had been killed. So they took the books back with them, and they started to read the books. And they began to long for it all. They recognized, because of the catechism that they had confiscated, that it was possible in extreme circumstances for people to be baptized by somebody other than a priest. All you needed was water, the intention to do what the church did, and the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And so they just baptized each other, 4,000 of them, and they studied sacred scripture and they studied the catechism. So that when the missionaries were eventually let in the late 1700s, they found, miraculously, this extraordinary group of people waiting for them, all lay people. The missionaries brought the completion of that mercy they had received in baptism, and they had passed on that love for the Lord and for each other in such a way that they were already heroic in faith. They had trained each other that they were willing to die for the faith, just like the Jesuits whose books, covered with blood, they had inherited. There were 6 extraordinary anti-Christian pogroms, 1791, 1827, 1839, 1846, 1866. And you'll forgive me if I forget the 6th. I don't remember what the 6th is. But I won't steer you wrong. I just won't make up a number. I don't remember the 6th. Andrew Kim Taegon, whose name is the one given, was the first Korean priest. In order to be trained, he needed to go to a quasi-Chinese seminary in a place that was safe, run by the Portuguese. So he journeyed 1,000 miles to Macau. And came back. He started to spread and strengthen the faith. This morning in the breviary, we heard his stirring witness at the end of his life, the courage he received. is when we really relate to the Lord and His mercy. We recognize everything's part of His mercy, including sufferings. He's working out the salvation of the world through our participation more and more in Jesus' merciful oblation on Golgotha. So they rejoiced in a sense to be able to share this intimately in Christ's merciful plan for themselves, for their people, for the world. They recognized, because of what Christ won, that death wasn't all that frightening, that torture was something that with the Lord's mercy they'd be able to endure. Just like St. Paul himself said today, the grace of God that is within me has not been ineffective. Elsewhere, when he was complaining about the thorn, he would say, he would hear from the Lord, my grace is sufficient. They had that total faith. And while they were suffering, they were merciful to their captors, praying efficaciously, I might add, that those who saw the way they died because of their faith in the fact that they would now become fully alive would want to follow them on that same interior Passover. Today, as we come forward to celebrate this Mass, we remember that it was the Eucharist that made them strong, that every time they celebrated Mass, they recognized that they were receiving a full outpouring of the Lord's merciful love in the Eucharist. Today, as we prepare, we ask the Lord through their intercession for the grace to love Him fully with gratitude like this woman in the Gospel, so that as she receives, so we will receive the gift of the Lord's salvation.